From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're delighted to have you with us today. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings another portion of this week's message, The Weeping Christ. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has shown that Christ's tears are a proof of His true humanity. In addition, those tears provide evidence of the Savior's tender-heartedness. Dr. Cairns will return to the message shortly, but first, in today's hot topic, he speaks of the Church of England and the Mark of the Beast.
Newsday carried a report of a light-hearted moment in the British House of Commons. I'm quoting, "The beast of the Book of Revelation intruded into the banter of the House of Commons in London, January 10, when a motion calling for the disestablishment of the Church of England was numbered 666. The last book of the Bible says 666 is the number of a beast that had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon, and that doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Bob Russell, a Liberal Democrat lawmaker, pointed out that it is incredible that a motion like this should have, by chance, acquired this significant number. Such motions are used by members to publicize issues, and other members may show support by signing them. By the afternoon of January 10, three people had signed. I close the quote. Given that only three members signed the bill, it's unlikely to be enacted into law. The Church of England is the national church established by law, and it enjoys special privileges. As long as it remained a truly Christian church, it stood as a safeguard for the British Constitution. It guaranteed that the nation was self-consciously a professedly Christian nation, whose basic values and laws should reflect the spiritual foundations on which it was built. While I'm no great admirer or apologist for the Church of England, I am happy that for centuries the British Constitution withstood many and varied attacks, and since the Glorious Revolution of 1688 has continued to give freedom to citizens of all denominations. However, the Church of England is hardly even a pale shadow of what it ought to be. Truth be told, it has often been a place in which good men and spiritual delinquents somehow held together in an uneasy alliance. In modern times, however, the Church of England has more and more disavowed its historic Protestantism and has elevated to its highest offices men who openly detest the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. It is an entirely ecumenical organization, seeking union with Rome. It is even worse, for at heart it is syncretistic, seeking union with religions that are openly heathen and anti-Christian. So one part of me would be happy to see the whole hypocritical show disestablished, as the Church of Ireland was in 1870. But I wonder what would follow. Britain has long since forsaken its Christian roots. It is utterly secular. The problem is that in the religious vacuum of the disestablishment of the Church of England, without even the semblance of a Christian basis for society, the door may be open for Islam to impose itself. That possibility is not as far-fetched as it may first seem. I've reported how the bill to disestablish the Church of England bore the number of the beast, 666. A coincidence? Yes. But it serves to remind us of all that's wrong in England, and of the dangers that lurk in the way. England's only hope is to cast off the bogus religion of an effete established church that is Christian in name only, that is not worthy of the name, and that more and more displays on its forehead the mark of the beast. And then, having cast it off, to return to the genuine Christianity that put the great into Great Britain.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
We must never minimize. I think we do this, you know. We shouldn't. We look at the person of Christ. Well, he's God manifested in the flesh. Yes, he is. And from this pulpit, I have never failed, I hope, to take an opportunity to emphasize the absolute and the true, eternal, essential, unchangeable deity of Jesus Christ. Without that, we have no gospel. And I will go further and say, without that, we have no God. For there is no God apart from Jesus Christ and the revelation in Him. It's in Him that we know God. It's in Him that God has revealed Himself. It's in Jesus Christ that man and God come together to meet. And there is no other meeting place. There is no other communion. There is no other heart knowledge of God. God is not a God. He is the God. And He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've never, by the grace of God, never will cease to proclaim the deity of Christ.
But his humanity is as real as his deity. Understand that. And while his deity is not humanized, his humanity is not deified. These are two natures in one person. Now I can say those words. I cannot explain the mystery. I cannot explain the miracle. I have to be honest with you and tell you, I use words all the time and I have no real idea as to the inner meaning of those words. I can talk about human nature. I haven't a clue what a nature is. I can give you definitions of theologians, but they are whistling in the dark. I tell you quite honestly, I cannot explain human nature. How on earth can I explain God manifested in the flesh? If I could explain that, as Dr. Paisley has famously said, we would no longer have a trinity, we would have a quartet. I cannot explain it. But I do believe that the Bible emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ for very good reasons. We must never minimize the reality of his suffering. The reality and the passion of his tears. These are not the false tears of an actor. These are not the crocodile tears of a politician. These are not the temporary show of emotion of a shallow-hearted man. Nor are they the frustration of a bitter or a defeated man. Tears may be any or all of those in ordinary men. But these tears of Christ are the deep expression of the heart of the God-man. Now let that sink in. I was thinking of that as I pondered this during the week. Let it sink in. The Lord Jesus knew the wickedness of man better than anybody. When he looked over Jerusalem, this is the omniscient Christ. He saw the city for what it really was. He saw each individual for what he really was. He understood so that he penetrated to the very dark recesses of each human soul. Nobody knew the wickedness of man as the Lord Jesus knew it. Yet he wept over them. Again, I thought, nobody knew the sovereign purpose of God in election as the Lord Jesus did. His disciples didn't, but he did. How do I know he did? Because all of God's elect are elect in him. He says in John 17 that they are the people that God gave to him from all eternity. So he knew the distinguishing decree of God's election. Yet he wept. Not only so, but he knew why he was going to die. The Lord Jesus fully believed in what we term particular redemption. The Lord Jesus knew he was not dying with no purpose. He knew he was not going to the cross to open some door of opportunity that may be or may not be effective. He knew that when he went to die, he was dying for a church that was given him in the covenant of redemption in the counsel of God from all eternity. He knew why he was going to die. He had a purpose in mind, and he knew he would accomplish that purpose. yet he wept. I want you to ponder that. Because his knowledge of the wickedness of man, his knowledge of the purpose of God, his knowledge of the particularity of his coming sacrifice, none of this made him either hard-hearted or uncaring toward perishing sinners. And if that was true of the omniscient Christ, how much more should it be true of you and of me, who know so little of the wickedness of man that we cannot even plumb the filthy depths of our own hearts. We know so little of the eternal purpose of God that we are indeed forbidden to try to look into it. We know so little of the particularity of Christ's sacrifice that we cannot with any confidence, or indeed with any warrant, identify the people for whom Jesus shed his blood. To hear some people, you would think that God took a perverse delight in damning souls. I've had people tell me in so many words that all the kindness of God to sinners, all the goodness of God to sinners, all the gifts of God to sinners are just like a farmer fattening a pig for slaughter. That he created them for no other purpose than for the pleasure of damning them. That the only reason they're damned is that God likes to do it. I confess that I am as much at sea in deciphering the eternal purpose of God as the next man. I back off a little here to say this. By mere human logic, and applying what I think is logical consistency, at every point where my limited intellect touches eternity, I can establish on apparently logical or even biblical grounds, I can establish what I know, what you know, and what that Bible knows to be utter and absolute heresy and folly. What is it saying? It's simply saying that finite logic fails when it comes in contact with the infinite. God is not a paradox. Let me make this clear to you. God is entirely consistent with himself. But that does not say that I have the means of unlocking that inner consistency so that he's consistent with my thinking. I can't do that. And I freely confess that I cannot do that. And again, could I do that, I also would be God. But the tears of Christ tell me this. Again, remember, they're not acting. They're not crocodile tears. They are real tears. They are tears for a city brought to destruction. They are tears for a city that didn't know the time of its visitation. And those tears cry out of the reality of the kindness, and the care, the concern of a loving Christ, the friend of sinners. Ezekiel, of course, had quoted the words of the Lord, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. That's a general proposition. It's a statement of the utmost universality. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What I have pleasure in, as Luke 15 says, and we will look at this, God willing, next week, is that the wicked turns from his way and lives. And anybody who has ever had a grasp of the truth of God's sovereignty and salvation, a real and true and biblical grasp of that sovereignty and salvation, will always have a heart that beats with the heart of Christ and weeps with the tears of Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.